Okay, good morning, everyone. Good morning. By the way, we have a Maseches Rosh Hashanah. If you go into the shul on my shtender, I have the shuls. It's crazy. That modern, I'm not, you know. okay, so here we go. So, just to pick up from where we left off last week. Last week, we were discussing, if you recall, last week we were discussing the fact the Gemara introduced on Zayin Amud Beis about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 lines from the bottom, 13 lines from the bottom. The Gemara introduced a little bit of a problem because the Gemara said, Meisve Shisha Sarben Isan Rosh Hashanah LaOmer Shisha Besivan Rosh Hashanah L'Shtei Alechem. The Gemara is trying to figure out, how do we understand the fact that the Tana of our Mishnah introduces our Mishnah by mentioning that there are four Rosh Hashanahs, when in reality there seem to be more than four, possibly even included in the Mishnah, but certainly in general. So the Gemara introduced a Braisa that seems to indicate that there are an additional two Rosh Hashanahs, and that was the Shisha Asar B'Nisan, which is the Rosh Hashanah for the Omer, right? Second day of Pesach. And Shisha B'Sivan, the sixth of Sivan, which is the Rosh Hashanah for Shtei Alechem. One is Matir, all of the new crops, and one is Matir it for the purpose of bringing Menachos in the Mishkan, in the Mikdash. So the Gemara then says that maybe we should expand our list in the Mishnah. And the Gemara says, well, it depends how you're limiting the list. If you're limiting the list based on the fact that we only include the number of months, or whether or not we include that have a Rosh Hashanah, whether or not we include the number of Rosh Hashanahs, and the Gemara goes through a whole cheshbon. So we left off one, two, three, four, about four lines from the bottom, and the Gemara said the following: Rav Shisha Brei de Rav Idi Amar Ki Kachashiv. When our Mishnah was saying that there are four Rosh Hashanahs, Midi Dilo Tali B'Maisa, it's referring to a Rosh Hashanah whose impact on the Jewish calendar and on Jewish life is not tolui, is not dependent on a particular action. It just happens. Midi de tolui b'maisa, but if it's tolui in an actual action, lo kachashiv, it's not listed in our Mishnah. And that's why the Omer, which is tolui in an action, is not in our Mishnah. That's why the Shtei Alechem, which is tolui in an action, is not in our Mishnah. And that's why our Mishnah only lists four. I, Bahari Regalim, Midi Ditali, B'maisa, V'Kachashiv. Regalim, which is the cutoff to bring your karbonos in terms of Baal Ta'acher, in terms of not postponing inappropriately the fulfillment of your commitment in karbonos, that certainly is Tali and Amaisa. How is that Tali and Amaisa? Because you have to bring the Tamid Shel Shachar in order to be permitted to bring any other korban of that day. And so therefore, it's the Tamid Shel, the Gemara's Havamina is, it's the Tamid Shel Shachar that is the matir to bring the korban. So the Gemara says, Baal Ta'acher Mimei L'Chayil. That no, the Gemara's Maskana is that really Baal Ta'acher is Chal already as soon as the day begins. It's not totally on the Tamid Shel Shachar. It happens to be that in order to actually bring the korban, you need the Tamid Shel Shachar. But in terms of the Rosh Hashanah's nature of its impact on Jewish life, that occurs even without bringing the korban. It's just you can't deal with the situation until you bring the korban Shel Tamid. So the Gemara then says, Vahari Yovlos, what about Yovel? Yovel, the Torah tells us, is Taloi, says Rashi, B'tikiyah, right? That you have to blow the shofar on Yovel. For Yovel to start. So Rabbi Yishmael ben Osher, Rabbi Yochanan ben Brokahi. We're on the top of Chesam and Aleph. This is the opinion of Rabbi Yishmael, the son of Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka. V'Ravashi. Omar, what do they say? Arba Rosh Hashanim Heim. I'm sorry. Rabbi Yishmael ben Osher, Rabbi Yochanan ben Brokahi. This is the opinion of Rabbi Yishmael, son of Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, who is of the opinion that Yovel begins actually at Rosh Hashanah, not at Yom Kippur, and we're going to see a little bit more detail of that soon. Ravashi Omar says, Ravashi, so even though it's Tali B'Maisa, it's already included at the beginning of Rosh Hashanah. Ravashi Omar says, Ravashi, a new solution. Arba Rosh Hashanim Heim, Shehein Be'arba Rosh Hashanim. Then no, the Mishnah is telling you that there are four Rosh Hashanahs that fall out on Rosh Chodesh, right? So the Gemara says, but hold on, be'echad b'shvat k'be'shamay, in that list is the month of Shvat, that the first of Shvat is a Rosh Hashanah. But the first of Shvat is a Rosh Hashanah only according to b'shamay. So it sounds like the introductory statement of our Mishnah is validating the opinion of b'shamay, that Tu B'Shvat, so to speak, falls out not on Tu B'Shvat, but on O'B'Shvat, right? So says the Gemara, Hachi Komar, Shlosha L'Divrei HaKol. So the Gemara says, really what the Mishnah meant to say is, yes, there are three according to everybody. Be'echad b'shvat, machlokas be'shama be'shilol. And that fourth Rosh Hashanah, and we're calling it a Rosh Hashanah because be'shamai said it was a Rosh Hashanah, that is subject to a machlokas tanoim, which we will explicate at the conclusion of our Mishnah. And that, of course, we follow the opinion of be'shilol. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon Omrim, be'echad b'tishrei. So if we go back and we remember, we have the opinion of Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, and they said that Meiser Behema, right? It said be'echad be'elo Rosh Hashanah le'meiser behema. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon Omrim be'echad b'tishrei. That meiser behema's Rosh Hashanah is not on echad be'elo, but on echad b'tishrei. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan says Rabbi Yochanan ushneya mikra echad darshu. They're both interpreting one common pasuk in Tehillim. Shenemar, what does that pasuk say? So I have that pasuk right here in front of us. Lov shucharim atzon, the meadows don sheep. Va'amakim ya'atfu var, and the valleys, the amakim, cloak themselves with var, with fodder, with food, with grain. Yis'oruru af yoshiru. They shout joyfully, they even sing. So what in the world does this pasuk mean? So love shukare matzon. So that, va'amakim ya'atfu var, yis'oruru af yoshiru. Rabbi Meir savar, what does Rabbi Meir say? He interprets the pasuk, okay, must I love shukare matzon? When does the tzon begin to don their, when do the meadows begin to don their sheep, which means literally that they begin to give forth other sheep, they begin to have baby sheep. Bizman shamakim ya'atfuvar, at the same time that the valleys begin to produce the beginning of their produce. They must say amakim ya'atfuvar, and when does that happen? We know when that happens. Ba'adar, that happens in Adar. Ba'adar, misabros ba'adar. So it comes out that these animals become pregnant in Adar, that's their mating season, and the animals carry for about 5 months. The Yoldos Ba'av, and they give birth in Av. So Rosh Hashanah Shelahen Elo. So that's why their Rosh Hashanah is in Elo. Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon Omrim, no, I must I love Shukara Matzon. When does this happen? When do the animals become pregnant? Bizman she is Oruru Af Yoshiru. At the time that the grain is so well developed, it begins to make a sound. Rashi says that the stalks are clapping against each other. A masai shibolim omros shira. When does that happen? That happens b'nisan. It happens in Nisan. So misabros b'nisan. So therefore they become pregnant in Nisan. The yoldos be'elol. And they give birth in Elol. So Rosh Hashanah shelahen. When is their Rosh Hashanah? Tishrei. It falls out in Tishrei. So ve'idach and the other opinion that says that their Rosh Hashanah falls out in Elul because they really become pregnant in Adar because it's the time that the grain first starts showing up in the fields. The idach nami oksev yisoru af yashiru, but it says yisoru af yashiru. What does that refer to? Ahu baflasa. That refers to the late bloomers. The habyam b'nisan. So there are some that give birth in Nisan, but the majority is happening in Adar, leading to the birth in Elul, leading to the Rosh Hashanah in Tishrei. So the idach nami, I'm sorry, they get pregnant in Adar, leading to the birth in Av, leading to the Rosh Hashanah in Elul. The idach nami haksev amokim yatfuvar, and according to the one that says that it happens later, and therefore the Rosh Hashanah is in Tishrei, according to that one, that opinion, it also says that it happens when the grains first start falling. How b'charfisa da'asyan me'adar. That refers to the earlier one, but the majority happen in Nisan. Bisham of Rabbi Meir, I understand according to Rabbi Meir, Kedichsev. I understand according to Rabbi Meir, the pasuk makes sense as it's written, Lav Shukare Matzon, that the sheep begin to multiply, Bizman She'amokim Yatfuvar, at the time that it's all in order, at the time that the grain first starts appearing in the valley, Be'ikanami, and there are some, Yisoru Af Yashiru, that makes sense, that are a little bit on the later side. Ela Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon. But according to Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, who says it's Echad B'Tishrei, Imchah Mibayalei. So the pasuk's kind of out of order, because it says Lav Shukara Matzon, that the animal gives the animals are going to give birth, the sheep are going to give birth, but when, according to him, Bizman Shis Oru Af Yashiru, at the time that they begin to sing, which is in the month of Nisan. The Ikanami, and there are also some Damakum Yat Fuvar that are also a little bit earlier. So it doesn't make so much sense, because that flips the order of the pasuk. The pasuk first introduces Amakum Yat Fuvar, and then Yisaru Af Yashiru. So it doesn't work out. Elo Amar Rava, says Rava, no, this is not the correct interpretation. De Kuliyam, everyone agrees, Lav Shukar Matzom, Bizman She Amakum Yat Fuvar, the Adar. Everybody agrees that this happens in Adar. The Hacha Bahai Krah Kamiflugi, and they're arguing about a completely different pasuk. The pasuk in Tehillim gives expression to the basic phenomenon as it happens. But what are they arguing about? They're arguing about the following pasuk. It says Aser to Aser, right? That you should surely give Maaser. Aser to Aser, you should surely give Maaser. So says the Gemara, Bishnei Maasros Akasa Medaber. The Torah is talking about two different Maasros. Echad Maaser Behema, one is Maaser Behema, V'echad Maaser Dagon, and one is the tithe of produce. Rabbi Meir Savar, yes, we're losing it, right? Rabbi Meir says, I lost the place. Rabbi Meir Savar, Makish Maaser Behema la Maaser Dagon. We compare Maaser Behema to Maaser Dagon, Ma Maaser Dagon, Samuch Legomro Ishuro, just like the Maaser of grain. We tithe it. Right next to the time, immediately following the time that it's finished. So, af meiser behema, so to meiser behema, samach legomro yishuro. As soon as the animal is finished, giving birth, that's when we should do the meiser, which means that just like by meiser dagon, the meiser action follows immediately after the productivity, so too by the case of meiser behema. Since we all agree at this point that the animals become pregnant in Adar, and that the animals are born in Av, and therefore the animals give birth in Av, therefore Rosh Hashanah for Maaser Behemah should be Rosh Chodesh Elul, but which is immediately following. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon Savri, know that the Hekesh of the Pasuk was bringing forth a different comparison. Makish Maaser Behemah leMaaser Dagon. Ma Maaser Dagon Rosh Hashanah Shelo Tishrei. It was more categorical, that Maaser Dagon is telling you that just like the Rosh Hashanah for Maaser Dagon is Tishrei, Af Maaser Behema, so to Maaser Behema, Rosh Hashanah Shelo Tishrei, its Rosh Hashanah is also Tishrei. Be'echa B'Tishrei, says the Mishnah, Rosh Hashanah L'Shanim, it's Rosh Hashanah for the years. So L'may Hilchasa, what is that relevant for? So Amar Rav Papa, and we saw this statement at the beginning of the Masechta, L'Shtaros, it's relevant for shtaros, the Tanakh, as we learned in the Mishnah, shtarei chov, hamukdamin psulim, v'amucharim ksherim. That if you have a shtar chov, and it is written, it is predated, then you have a problem, because the lekuchos, the people who purchased land from the borrower after the period of time that the loan occurred, right, they are subject, there is a lien on that property, and the lender can go collect from that property. But if the property is, if the shtar is predated, that means that the raya of the shtar can subject property to this lien that didn't really exist, this sale didn't exist at the time that the loan had taken place. And so therefore, that's a problem. So the mukdamim psulim mukharim ksherim, if you post-date it, so that also creates a shtar that's not entirely reflective of the reality, but since the lender can always agree to do something that's not in his interest, if he does so, so that's okay. So we need to know when the Rosh Hashanah for Shanim is, for this purpose. V'atnan be'echad b'nisan Rosh Hashanah l'melachim. But didn't we learn in the very beginning of the Masechta that Echad b'nisan is Rosh Hashanah for kings? V'amrinan, and we said, L'may Hilchasa, what's the purpose of that halacha? V'amar Rav Chisda, and Rav Chisda said, L'shtaros, for this very din. And then we got into when it's an early, when it's a late, what happens with the Edim. We have to know, is Tammuz before Kislev, is Kislev before Tammuz? So the Gemara says, Lo kash, so it sounds like we have two different Rosh Hashanahs in the Mishnah, both for the same reason, both for shtaros. So the Gemara says, Lo kasha, it's not a question. Kan l'malchei Yisrael. Kan l'malchei umos ha'olam. The Gemara wanted to tell us that Rosh Hashanah of Nisan. That's Rosh Hashanah. That's how we count for Melachim of Klal Yisrael. Rosh Hashanah's of Tishrei. That's of Shanim of Tishrei. That's when we count for Umas Ha'olam, for the other nations of the world.
How does that practically work? Meaning, with lending...
If you're writing a shtar, and you're attributing the date in that shtar to the kingship of...
either the Jewish king or the non-Jewish king.
Right, for whatever reason. Let's say there is no Jewish king.
Non-Jewish king, it would be Tishrei.
You would count his melucha from Tishrei. Exactly.
It doesn't mean that I'm borrowing from a non-Jew.
No. Correct. But Rav Chisda said, so Rav Chisda is the one that made the statement that when we say the Rosh Chodesh Nisan is Rosh Hashanah L'Malachim, that only applies to Malchi Yisrael. But Malchus Umas Ha'olam, we count from Tishrei. So Rav Chisda mas Nisan as Lashminan. He's telling us a Mishnah. Hello, Rav Chisda cross Lashminan. If you remember earlier in the Sugya, Rav Chisda was trying to attribute this distinction to a particular pasuk. And that's why he brought this statement, not to be the one that is mechadesh the notion that we have this split. It's possible Rabbi Chisda follows Rabbi Zeira. Why Masnila Rabbi Zeira? Because Rabbi Zeira learned Amar Litzkufa, that the reason why this Rosh Hashanah Lishanim was brought in is for the purpose of Tkufa, to know in terms of the cycles of astronomy with respect to the seasons and the sun and the moon, that all originates in Tishrei. Rabbi Lazar, he, and it follows the opinion of Rabbi Lazar, to Amar, because Rabbi Lazar says, B'Tishrei Nivra Ha'olam, that the world was created in Tishrei, and we will see soon that is actually a machlokas. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Amar, Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak says, Ledin. You know what it means that it's Rosh Hashanah? This is the one, it's just very interesting, right? Our whole relationship to Rosh Hashanah is Yom HaDin. That's how we relate to Rosh Hashanah, right? That's like the third answer given in the Gemara, right? That, maybe it's Rosh Hashanah Ledin, you know? So what does that mean? Dechsev, it's the Pasuk says, Mireishis Hashanah Ve'ad Achris Shana. From the beginning of the year to the end of the year, Mireishis Hashanah Nidon Mayehe Besofa. What is that referring to? That in the beginning of the year, you are judged what's going to be at the end. Mimai de Tishrehu. How do you know that happens on Tishrei? Dichsib, because it says, Tiku b'chodesh shofar b'kese le'yom chageinu. That you should blow in the month the shofar b'kese, with something that's covered, that's hidden, le'yom chageinu, for a day of our celebration. Ezu chag, what's the chag? Sha'chodesh mischasebo, that the month is covered. So what is that? Where the moon looks so small. Haviyomer is there Rosh Hashanah. That's Rosh Hashanah, right? Pesach, it's like a full moon. Sukkah is like a full moon. What?
So why they keep the shofar covered all the time? Until right before you blow it?
Is that why we keep the shofar covered? I think the reason we keep the shofar covered has to do with the bracha, but that's interesting. I don't know. Maybe it is. Is that the reason? Kesel Yom Chageinu. All right, Reb Shlomo says yes. So the answer is yes. Good. So, Havi Omer Zerah Shoshana, Viksiv, and it's written, Ki Chok LeYisrael Hu, Mishpat LeLokei Yaakov, that this is a day of Chok for Klal Yisrael, and it's a day of Mishpat to the God of Yaakov. So you see that we're judged on Rosh Hashanah. Ki Chok LeYisrael Hu, Mishpat LeLokei Yaakov. Tana Rabbanon, the rabbis on, Ki Chok LeYisrael Hu, Mishpat LeLokei Yaakov. Milamei, that comes to teach us a very, very important idea. She'ein Bezdin Shalmala Nichnasin Ledin, Elim Kain Kitchu Bezdin Shalmata Esachodesh. Right? This is actually in the Yerushalmi and the Medrash, made much more dramatic. I think it's the Yerushalmi or maybe the Medrash that talks about the angels getting together for Yom HaDin, and Hashem saying to the angels, we're not doing Yom HaDin yet because Klal Yisrael didn't declare it Rosh Hashanah. And this is one of the most fundamental ideas of Maseches Rosh Hashanah, and that is that Klal Yisrael is given Chodesh Hazeh Lachem. We are given dominion over time. And therefore, we decide when Rosh Chodesh is going to be. So normally, we decide when Rosh Chodesh is going to be. Okay, so we decide when we're going to say Hallel, when we'll say the Musafin. So those are important things, but those are not life-altering things. But to suggest that Yom HaDin literally occurs, not when Hashem decides, but when you decide, right? That's extraordinary. Yeah. That a Kodesh Baruch Hu literally would suspend the din until Klal Yisrael decides that it's time for the Chodesh. And it speaks to some extent of the nature of what this din is. right? If this din was entirely a passive experience for Am Yisrael, that we just sort of sit victim to whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides over Rosh Hashanah, so then what would we have to do with determining its actual existence? But, you know, the din of Rosh Hashanah is much more interactive than that. The din of Rosh Hashanah is not just, we don't just stand there, you know. There's a role that we have to play in the din of Rosh Hashanah, and that's to be Mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu understands that the whole purpose of everything we're asking for on Rosh Hashanah is Lemancha, is in order to do in this world what God put us here to do. And that's why the themes of Rosh Hashanah are Malchus. That's why we're being Mamlech Hashem. We're not just trying to kiss up to God so he gives us a good answer. Where this is a partnership, Kaviyachal. HaKadosh Baruch Hu put us in this world to accomplish something for Malchus Hashem. And that's why on Rosh Hashanah we're so, you know, so involved in declaring the Malchus of Hashem. So we decide when Rosh Hashanah is going to be. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does the din. We have a role to play. You don't just come to Shul on Rosh Hashanah and sit there and say, all right, give it to me. You know, this is, and even the language of the tefillos, by the way, that sound more like that, are later tefillos. Those are already when the day had developed more as a post-Mikdash kind of, you know, experience where the Yom HaDin component became really the almost exclusive aspect of Rosh Hashanah. But if you look through, you know, more of the older aspects of the tefillos, you'll recognize that this is not us saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that Yom Kippur sounds like that a lot, you know, that we're nothing and we're, you know, maybe we shouldn't have even been created, and now that we're created, give us a little something, you know, that. We don't say that in Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah, we focus on the godless of man, on our purpose in this world, on why we're here, you know, this, you know, v'chein ten kavod la'amecha, v'chein ten, right? We want HaKadosh Baruch Hu to give us kavod. What a chutzpah to ask for kavod on Yom HaDin. It's like, you know, walk up to a judge on a court date that you have and you say, listen, I'd like a little kavod. You know what I mean? Like, what is that, you know? So we understand this is a relationship. This is an interactive relationship. Heim Bezin Shalmala Nichnasin Ledin Elim Kem Kitchu Bezin Shalmata Zechodesh. Tanya Idach, we learned in another Bible, Yichog Yisrael, who Ein Li Elo Yisrael. That refers to the judgment of Klal Yisrael. Luma Sa'olam Inayin. How do you know that the non-Jewish world also is judged on Rosh Hashanah? Tamalomer Mishpat Lelohe Yaakov. The fact that there are two. It's Chokl Yisrael, who? And Mishpat Lelohe Yaakov. So it sounds like there are two dinim going on here. There's Klal Yisrael's din, and there's the Umas Olam's din. So Im Kein Matam Lorm Yichok Li Yisrael. So if everybody's being judged, so just make one singular statement. Melamed She Yisrael Nichnas in Tchilo Lidin. We're actually judged first. Kedir Rav Chizda, like Rav Chizda. To Amar Rav Chizda says, Melech V'Tzibor, if you're going to judge a Melech, and you're going to judge a Tzibor, Melech Nichnas Tchilo Lidin. You first judge the Melech, and then the Tzibor. Shenemar Mishpat Avdo U'Mishpat Amo. First, there's the mishpat for the Eved, and then the mishpat for the nation. My timer, what's the reason? Iba Yaseima, some say the reason is, Lav Urach Ara Lameka Malka Avroi. It's not bekovedik to make the melech wait in the waiting room while you're going ahead and judging the rest of the nation. So you judge the melech first, and then you judge the nation. Kal Yisrael is a mamlech es kohanim. We're supposed to be leaders of this world. We're supposed to be role models of this world. So we're judged first for the degree, and I would add even that to some degree, maybe, Gemara doesn't say this, but maybe their judgment is somewhat totally on our judgment. Mm-hmm. You know, the world is supposed to be inspired and influenced and impacted by, you know, an Am Kadosh. So first let's find out how the Am Kadosh did. So if they're doing what they're supposed to do, so now we could hold the nations of the world accountable for what they're supposed to do. I don't know. Maybe if Klal Yisrael is not doing what it's supposed to do, maybe that is somewhat related to their din. Havroi v'ibay yisema mekame delefish charonaf. And the other possibility is no. Is that listen? We're all in this together. We're all in one world, right? So we all want a good din for the world. We want good weather. We want good. I'm such a Californian. That's 34 first. I meant good weather for crops, right? You know, we want good weather. We want good. Good sustenance, we want good healthy lives, we want to discover cures for disease, we want that. How many things do we need that nobody else needs? We're all in this together. So if we're all in this together, what we should do is, if we know that it's been a rough year with the world and God, So let's first send in, right, the one who's going to appease the Kadosh Baruch Hu a little bit, the Melech, or Klal Yisrael, and then you'll send in everybody else, right? This was, growing up, this was always the strategy to get things from my father. First, you send in my sister. She's the girl. And you know, she does the first appeal, and then the guys come in and, you know, oh, we want this also, right? You have to know how to work the system. Ulishmitin, and it's also Rosh Hashanah for Shemitah. Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Chodesh Tishrei. Minoan, how do you know this? Dechsev uvashana ashviyas, Shabbat Shabbaton yelo aretz. On the seventh year, it's going to be a big Shabbaton for the land. The Gomar Shana Shana mitishrei, and we learn the words Gzera Shava Shana Shana from Tishrei. Dechsev, because it says Mereishis Hashana. The Ligmar, so it says Mereishis Hashana. So Shemitah says Shana uvashana hashviyas. Rosh Hashanah says Shana, Mireish says Shana, just like Rosh Hashanah is Rosh Chodesh Tishrei, so too Shemitah is Rosh Chodesh Tishrei. The Ligmor Shana Shana mi Nisan, maybe we should learn the Gzera Shava from Nisan, because Nisan also says, Rishon hu lachem l'chad she Hashanah, uses the word Shana, it's the first of the months of the year. The Gemara says, and we've seen this before, Dan in Shana she'eni machadoshim mishana she'eni machadoshim. If we have a choice to extrapolate a Gzera Shava from a particular context that's more parallel to the place that we're trying to shed light on, then we will choose that context over another context where it's less parallel. So here, in the case of Rosh Hashanah, it's got Shana She'eni Machadashim. But Be'endan in Shana She'eni Machadashim, Mishana She'eshi Machadashim. But the context of Pesach, it's really saying something different about the year. It's not reflecting on the year in isolation. It's saying the year as it relates to months. That's not the topic under discussion by Shemitah. And so therefore, we learn it out from Rosh Hashanah, not from Shemitah. Uli Yovlos. It sounds like from the Mishnah that it's also Rosh Hashanah for Yovel. Yovlos be'echa b'tishreihu, Yovlos be'yud b'tishreihu. Yovel is on echa b'tishrei, Yovel is on yud tishrei. So in order to follow this, let's just get the psukim down. So the psukim are, the Torah says the following. I know some of you have the Gemaras with the psukim on the side. The first pasuk is, Vavarta shofar trua b'chodesh ashvi b'esel chodesh b'yom ha-kippurim tavir shofar b'chol ha-artzachem. You should blow the shofar on the 10th, this is in the context of Yovel, on the 10th of the month, on Yom Kippur, you should blow the shofar. Then the Torah says, "V'kidashtem has shnasa chamishim." You should sanctify that 50th year, shana ukrasim dor ba'aretz, and you have to proclaim liberty l'chol yoshvef, all the inhabitants. Yovel hi, it's a jubilee year. Tia lachem mishavtem isha chuzaso. Everybody returns to their portion. Isha mishpachto tashuvu, and they return to their family. Yovel hi. Then the Torah says, "It's yovel shnasa chamishim shana." This 50th year, tia lachem. For you, lo tizru, you shouldn't plant, lo tiktzoros b'chisev, lo tiktzoros nizrael. Okay? You can't do any work on the land. So the Gemara says the following. So it sounds like Yovel starts when? Yovel starts on Yom Kippur. That's when you're told to blow the shofar. So the Gemara says, Yovel b'echa b'tishreyu. So you're saying Yovel starts on echa b'tishrey, Yovelos b'yud b'tishreyu. The Gemara says, dechsev, b'yom ha-kippurim taviru shofar. So ha-mani, so who's this following? Rabbi Yishmael ben Osher of Yochanan ben Broka, that we alluded to before. What does he say? He Titania, because we learned in the Braisa, V'kidashtem eshnas achamishim. Now you should go ahead and you should sanctify the 50th year, Shana, that year. Matam alomer, what are you telling me? Lefishin emar biyom ha-kippurim. Since it says that we're going to blow the shofar on Yom Kippur, right? Because the question is, why do you have to tell me, V'kidashtem eshnas achamishim, Shana, that you're going to sanctify the 50th year? I already told you that after 49 years, you blow the shofar on Yom Kippur, and it's Yovel. So that is the 50th year. I have to make the calculation for you. Oh, by the way, that's the 50th year. 50 comes after 49. You need the Torah to tell me that. So the Gemara says, yes, you do. Lefi she'nemar b'yom ha-kippurim, yachol lo te'em iskadesh, yeselim yom ha-kippurim v'eilech. I might think that Yovel begins on Yom ha-kippurim, and there's no kedushas Yovel until Yom ha-kippurim. Tamalomer v'kidashtem es shnas ha-chamishim. That you sanctify the 50th year. Melame, that teaches us, Shemiskadeshes veholeches mitchiloso. That the Kedusha of Yovel actually starts with Rosh Hashanah. Mikanam Rishma ben Yochanan, Shel Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka. And this is the source of the following statement, that the actual Yovel begins on Rosh Hashanah. Mi Rosh Hashanah ad Yom HaKippurim, from Rosh Hashanah. So what happens? So from Rosh Hashanah, the slaves are free, right? So Rosh Hashanah until Yom Kippur, lo ayu avadim niftarim libetayim, they actually do not yet go home. Velo mishtabim ladoneim, and they're not mishtabed to their original masters. Ella, they become part of the family. Ochlin v'shosin v'smeichin, they eat, they drink, and they rejoice. Vatroseyem v'rosheyen, with crowns on their heads. Kevin shigia Yom HaKippurim, when Yom Kippur comes, tiku Beis Din b'shofar, Beis Din blows the shofar. Niftu avodim levateyem, and that's when they return to their homes. V'sados chozos lebaaleyen, and that's when the sados go back to their original owners. So it's so interesting. It tells you a lot of what the Jewish Torah's conception was of Avdus, right? In other words, if God forbid you're mistreating this person, that's a very unlikely scenario that, you know, once their Avdus is over, everybody's breaking bread together. You know, let's eat, let's rejoice, let's besimcha. I'm done with you. I don't have anything to do with you. But we know, right, we know that the Torah's conception of Avdus obviously is contextualized for that, as it's expressed for that particular era of the world, where the concept of owning a person, having a slave, is something that resonated, but the Torah's expectations of the way in which that would work is such that there would be tremendous respect to the slave. The slave, yeah, was to some degree your property, but the slave was somebody who was chayiv in certain mitzvos. The slave was somebody who, that's even the non-Jewish slave. The Jewish slave, you treat them with tremendous, tremendous dignity. So this is a natural conclusion. You spend Aseres Yemei Tshuva together, and then Yom Kippur, they go free. That's the Yovel experience. The Rabbanon, so what do they say? They hold that Yovel begins at Yom Kippur. So what's the Rosh Hashanah? Shanim ata mekadesh, yata mekadesh chadashim. So it teaches you that you're mekadesh shanim, and you're not mekadesh chadashim. You're not mekadesh based on the months. So let's look at the Rashi says, kishishnas yovel nichnasa mitzvah beizin lomar mekudeshes hashana. When the year of Yovel begins, the Bezin is Mekadesh through sanctifying the year. And you're not Mekadesh based on the month. Tanya Idach, we learned another Braisa, Yovel hi, Matam Alam, what does that teach you? Vishinem HaMekadash Mishnas Chamishim, since it says you're Mekadesh the 50th year, Yoch Hashem Shemiskadesh V'lechas Mikhlasa, Kach Miskadesh V'lechas B'sofa, I might think, just like the Yovel year begins with this Rosh Hashanah till Yom Kippur piece, maybe you have a 10-day extension at the end as well, right? So that it's a year full. And don't think that that's so crazy. Because we always have the concept of Tosefes Kedusha. That's not a crazy concept. But Tom Lomars, the Torah comes to teach us, Yovel Shnasa Chamishim, that it's the 50th year. Shnas haChamishim, the 50th year of Tamekadesh, v'iyat Tamekadesh, Shnas haChamishim v'achas. And you don't Mekadesh the 51st year, meaning you don't go into Yom Kippur of the following year. Okay, Shkar.